Some people are expert scholars, but you got to read them 16 times to know what they're saying. The ability to take these complicated subjects and make them come alive in a felt meaning is rare among these people. But to you that don't mind plowing, I'll anticipate you. I'm going to get into Joseph A. Seiss's classic on the subject, The Gospel in the Stars. E.W. Bullinger, The Witness of the Stars. Now, I keep talking about the precession of the equinoxes, and somebody called earlier and said, Doc, I'm confused, from Hayward, I think it was. But Doc, I'm confused. You quoted 25,000. Oh, I see what they're saying. Doc, I'm getting confused. You quoted 2,500 to 2,800 years. Now you're saying 25,000 years. Don't think so. If I did, it was one of those times when I was trying to preach a five-hour message in 30 minutes. Because I think I've always said the precession of the equinoxes runs between 25,000 and 2,800 years. Tonight, and many times to simplify it, I say more than 25,000 years. That, by the way, is still a subject that they're pinpointing. Now, the precession of the equinoxes is such, and I get amused. I'm not amused. I'm glad to see the interest and the questions. Somebody called and said, if the limestone face is missing, how can you calculate the distance from the scored lines to the end of the entrance? That is so refined now in the measurements of the pyramid, they can tell you exactly where the limestone face was. The measurements of the pyramid are now nailed down, and it can be determined. You just take what's there and draw your graphs and determine it. The sockets have been located. They can determine that. Somebody says, is Rutherford a Mason? We'll see, but I don't think so. Somebody else says, is he the Rutherford of the Jehovah's Witness? No, that's Judge Rutherford. He used to live in Pasadena, didn't he? About time some voice come close enough to that territory to correct a lot of things that have been wrong. If I were to get one book on the pyramids, which one should it be? The one I'm going to write. Ask Doc if they're using 30-day months, 360-day years. Yes. What is the significance of the pit? It's hell. Hacienda Heights says, even though Doc rarely mentions it, we brought our kids to the children's church last Sunday, and they really enjoyed it. I'm glad to know that. Mission Viejo, do you think the Star of Bethlehem was an actual star or an astronomical event? I think it's an actual star lined up just like they line up on the pyramid, certain stars lined up on Bethlehem. Ask Dr. Scott if the pyramid will give us the final year or not. Corona Del Mar, we'll see, won't we? Coma. Doc, have you read Tesla, Man Out of Time? Yes, I have. San Jose, do you know the links to the granite plugs that were in the passage? Yes, I do. Santa Clara, Doc, what are you so happy about? I've seen that look before. I ain't telling. Los Angeles, you going to get into the King's Chamber tonight? No. I'm going to sleep in Doc's path. When are you going to get on that straight line over to the Queen's Chamber? When the right time comes. That's the path of the Jews who rejected Christ. I will get on that eventually. I keep talking of the precession of the equinoxes. Now, appearance makes us think that in any given day, the sun comes up and goes down. Right? And we see it, the days get shorter and longer as it changes position on the horizon. And at given dates at noontime, if you could sight right through the sun, it would be lined up with a certain constellation. And you go through the 12 months and you come around and you sight that sun in again. The stars seem to go over us too, like the sun. Well, they, I guess, slower and faster is hard to explain in terms of the universe, because you don't even really know which way's up. But the stars sort of go over at a different rate of speed than the sun. When you see them, they don't quite move as far. And the earth's going around. Over a period of 12 months, it appears the sun comes right back and sighted in at a given time, it'd be lined up with a certain constellation. The only problem is, it's just a little bit off. About a degree every 71 years, I think it is. Just a hair off. And either, depending upon which way you want to look at it, either the sun is backing into them or moving ahead of them. Backing into them is a better way to say it. So every 71 years, if you sight in, it'll be 1 degree off, if my memory is correct. And I'm using round figures. 25,000 plus years. I mean, if you go enough years, 2,000 years, all of a sudden, that every 71 years, the sun sighted in at the same time in the same month will be lined up on, say, Taurus, certain star, at a certain place. 71 years goes by, you sight it in again, shoot a peanut out there, it would just be 1 degree off. Another 71 years go by. Enough years go by, it won't quite sight in at the same time every year on the same star. Got that? Enough years goes by, cracky, it's no longer sighted in the same day of the year, same time on Taurus, but it's moved to another constellation. And it goes through that constellation every 71 years, about 1 degree off. Like you're changing the sighting a little bit on the sight. It'll take it at 1 degree every 71 years, if I'm correct, and that shows up every 12 months. It'll take 25,000 years before that sun goes the full circuit and comes back to the same place again, somewhere between 25,000 and 28,000 years. Now that's assuming the heavenly bodies have always moved the same way, assuming they were moving 25,000 years ago, and will keep moving another 25,000 years. That's the way that particular thing is figured out. Now the pyramid measured all that out. And the 2143 period, or 2141 period, is that precise point within a 25,000 plus year period of movements in these heavenly bodies, when at the particular point in longitude and latitude that the pyramid sits, that passage that descends to the pit was precisely lined up until the beam of light from Alpha Draconis would shine straight down that pit, that descending passage, all the way to where it turned horizontal. And like a laser beam, the light from that star would shine right dead center. As the descending passage went down and then turned horizontal, it would hit right in the middle. And the scored lines extended outward would hit dead center. The star it was honed in the Pleiades. Once. And all these bodies would have to move another 25,000 plus years from that date for that exact lineup perfectly to come again. That becomes your benchmark. Somebody says, how can you be sure of your dates? There's so many different dates. You are not sure of your dates. You are sure of two things. The length of the inches. An inch to a year. And I'll tell you when we get to the antechamber why that is coded for you in the pyramid. And number two, astronomy tells you when exactly those two points lined up. Now, to answer the first question, if modern science has figured out and the extension of the measurements and the lines and the plane and the angle of that passage can be pinpointed to 2141 BC when stars millions of miles out there are lined up. They can sure find the outer edge by triangulation of the lines and the dimensions of the pyramids. So they know where the passage originally started. They know where the scored lines are. They know how many inches are between the benchmarks. And the controlling date is when the Pleiades and Draconis line up. And that's not an accident. The precession of the equinoxes. God set these things in space. He's the one that determined. The word zodiac is from the Greek zodiacos, which is not from zao, to live, or zoe, as they treat it. And the derivative words in English are zoology and zoological. It's not from that verb, but rather from a primitive root through the Hebrew, sodi, which in Sanskrit means away. Its etymology has no connection with living creatures, but denotes a step or a way, a procession of proper walking, and is used of the way or path in which the sun appears to move amongst the stars in the course of the year. Now I'm reading from Bullinger, E.W. Bullinger. To an observer on the earth, I gave you some words earlier to give a gestalt. You've got to start getting a feel for this. To an observer on the earth, the whole firmament, or sky as it's laid out, that's a wrong use of the word firmament, together with the sun, appears to revolve in a circle once every 24 hours. By the way, somebody said, how can you see the sun at noon? I mean, that star at noon. Go down to the bottom of that pit and sight in through that pit that is separating out the sun's rays that tend to crowd your view, and you might be surprised the degree to which you can see a star in the daytime. Go up to an observatory up here with their instruments. The stars are there. But if you are standing bathed in the light of the sun and don't sort of shelter it away, you're not going to see the star, the thing we've seen in the daytime. To an observer on the earth, the whole firmament, together with the sun, appears to revolve in a circle once in 24 hours. But the time occupied by the stars in going round differs from the time occupied by the sun. This difference amounts to about 1/12 of the whole circle in each month. So that when the circle of the heavens is divided up into 12 parts, the sun appears to move each month through one of them. This path which the sun thus makes amongst the stars is called the ecliptic. Not elliptic. Ecliptic. E-C-L-I-P-T-I-C. Each of these 12 parts, consisting each of about 30 degrees, is distinguished not by numbers or by letters, but by pictures and names. And you see, the devil, he'd like to come along and caricature the heavens in astrology that bends its truths out of shape to a point where the whole church world turns off on the heavens completely until they can't read God's message in the heavens. Paul said it was there. It makes everybody stand condemned. There to be read. Distinguished not by numbers or by letters, but by pictures and names. And this, as we have seen from the very earliest times, nobody can tell you when they were first named. And yet almost universally, the pictures exist. They are preserved to the present day in our almanacs, and we're taught their order in familiar rhymes. The ram, the bull, the heavenly twins. Next, the crab, the lion shines. The virgin and the scales. The scorpion, archer, and sea goat. The man that carries the water pot and fish with glittering scales. That rhymes. I don't know what a rhyme is. Let me see if I can say it in a way that it... The ram, the bull, and the heavenly twines, I guess you say. Next, the crab, the lion shines. Or maybe you should say the ram, the bull, and the heavenly twins. And next, the crab, the lion shins. The virgin and the scales, the scorpion archer and the sea goat. The man that carries the water pot and fish with glittering scales. Virgin and the scales. Corbin Archer, the gold man, McGarry's water pot, and fish, glittering scales. That isn't rhyme. That's the same word. Well, for Bullinger, that may help him remember them, but not me. These signs have always and everywhere been preserved in this order and have begun with Aries. They've been known amongst all nations and in all ages, thus proving their common origin from one source. Yes, that's true. The figures, the pictures that make you come up with the names that are like kid drawings where you connect the dots, lines drawn between the stars, the figures themselves are perfectly arbitrary. There's nothing in the groups of stars to even suggest the figures. If you go out and look for the line, you're going to go blind. Take, for example, the sign of Virgo and look at the stars. There's nothing whatever to suggest a human form. Still less is there anything to show whether that form is a man or a woman. So with all the others. Why then the picture? Well, we'll see. Got to get on that subject. I tell you, we got to get on it. But the sun is moving around out there as the whole universe is moving. And the precession of the equinoxes has to do with that point in time when at a given moment the sun is aligned with a certain one of those constellations. That lineup with a star in the constellation, not the constellation, is precise enough to be a star in the constellation where you crosshair the two. The star that will shine all the way, and I've already told you that, and to those who are going to listen on syndication, it'd be the previous week. To you that are listening live tonight, I've already told you an hour ago. Right now, Polaris, the North Star, shines down that passage to the pit. But in 41 B.C. or B.C.E. to my Jewish friends, that North Star was Draconis, Alpha Draconis, and it shined all the way down. You try to see the North Star in that descending passage today, you walk into the pit, and you'll reach a point where it no longer shines all the way down. It came through the entrance, but it's not honed in like a radar beam dead center all the way down the pit. I meant they had to know how to build a tunnel, didn't they? I mean, you could have yourself a little car almost the same size as the tunnel. If you drive straight enough, you wouldn't scrape any paint all the way down. Just perfectly aligned. Now, that date is the critical date. Everything about the pyramid flows from that alignment of those two stars. And the reason I'm starting to bait you a little bit on astronomy, the precession of those constellations are also prophetic. There is a psalm dedicated to that truth, God's message in the stars and his message in the written word. The precession of those, not precession, procession of those zodiacal clusters tell a prophetic truth. You'll never understand the Sphinx with the face of a woman and the body of a lion. I'll give you a hint. The face of the woman Virgo and the body of the lion Leo, which gives you a hint as to beginnings and endings in God's master plan of time in dealing with this earth. God spoke through the stars as he spoke through the pyramid, and they all confirm one another. Now, we've hardly touched the stars except to amaze ourselves that the pyramid gave the basis to figure out the heavenlies and the measurements and their sequential order and their movements before modern science even scratched the surface. But as the pyramid confirms God's word and shows God's control, so do the stars. I can't get on that yet. Got to get back to the pyramid. Now, you've seen the basic diagram of the pyramid's prophetic chart. Here's another larger picture. Maybe you can pick the numbers up on this one. Can you see that one any better? Larger, and you may be able to pick them up without me writing them in. 2623 BC, entrance. That's determined by counting the pyramid inches back from the scored line convergence, 2141 BC, when the dragon star Alpha Draconis shined as the north star straight down this passage, and the scored lines pointed to the Pleiades. Count the inches on down the descending passage where the floors meet and turns upward. You have 1453 BC. The inches don't change. If this date is correct, then the two dates on each side are correct. This date is not determined by the pyramid. It's determined by independent astronomy. Got that? I teach to get a gestalt feel. I'll say the same thing over and over again until I get a feel from you and we pass it. Now, this downward passage all the way, as you look down and to try to describe it for the people listening on radio, from the point of entrance moving, and the entrance is on the north side of the pyramid, it does not split the axes. It is 286.1 pyramid inches off. It does not split one of those vertical axes of the pyramid. And I'll explain that at another time. But you follow this downward passage, that's the downward descent of man in sin. And you come to a point, again, the same number of inches are always there. From this scored line benchmark, 2141, you count the inches to where the ascending passage turns upward, you come to 1453 B.C., you forget about the ascending line and follow the path of this present evil world, just keep going down. The inches will bring you to a point where the floor suddenly turns horizontal and leads to a pit. The point where it turns horizontal is 1521 A.D. Now, in the history of this present evil world, that becomes a significant date. And you can trace the history of this world apart from God, even against God. And if I want to teach history outside of God's influence, I'll stay right here in this channel, inch by inch, all the way down to 1521 A.D. Then you turn horizontal, and when it turns horizontal, it's like a blow-up on a map. It becomes an inch to a month. It's an enlargement. Now, this map I'm trying, if you'll hold it still, I'll just hold the camera still and focused. I'll find the right angle to hold this book, then you can move it around. Because it's hard to keep this chart straight. Now, I'll zoom in down here on the pit area. 1521 A.D., it turns horizontal. Now, if you'll back off with the camera for a fuller blow-up, don't move the camera, just back off. Stop right there. There are 1, 2, 3 horizontal passages. A horizontal passage where the downward descent of this present evil world turns horizontal at 1521 A.D. At 33 A.D., when the Jews reject Christ, there's a horizontal movement that traces their history. And at the top of the great step, almost at the end of the grand gallery, there's the horizontal passage that leads into the king's chamber. Three horizontal passages, one to the pit, one to the queen's chamber, one to the king's chamber. Those horizontal passages represent the equivalent on a map of a blow-up, a change of the scale, where you use a ratio different than an inch to a year because it's detailing details close to the end of time. So you can trace the history of this present evil world by staying in the downward passage. You trace the turning up of deliverance of God's people, the children of Abraham, in the exodus out of Egypt, the hall of truth and bondage where they're under law, to the coming of Christ and the opening up of the hall of truth in light, and those that follow the truth of Christ and those that are in the sphere of his influence, the gospel age. I'm avoiding dispensations because I don't like dispensational terminology. But the coming of Christ opens two paths, this one and the horizontal one. And I can trace the history of the Jews in detail, the rejected Christ, right into the Queen's Chamber. I can trace the history since the resurrection of Christ to this present age, right up to where we move in detail an inch to a month into the King's Chamber. But to do that, which a lot of you are pushing me to do, a lot of you are saying, get me over here quick, tell me what's happening today. No way, not until we get the principles and determine those principles sufficiently that we can lead with accuracy and know the difference between theory and fact. As you watch me come against those that threw the baby out with the bathwater in the 10 tribes search and still say there's truth we must look at, this is God's witness in stone. But you've got to separate the error and the conjecture and the overkill from the fact to learn how to respect it and not make a fool of yourself as you study the pyramid. Now, with those benchmarks, let me pick out some highlights. Somebody asked the question, well, what about that entrance? Before I get to the entrance, let me show you a blow-up of what we're talking about in the scored lines.
This is the end of side one.